Well, the text this morning comes from John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. In a little bit of context, this is the first part of this is the beginning of a section called the Upper Room Discourse, which goes from chapter 14 to 17. And it's basically Jesus' last conversation with his disciples in the upper room before the crucifixion. And so you can kind of imagine the atmosphere. He talked to them about his death and his coming, his crucifixion. And so there was a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of confusion. And so it's into this context that he speaks these words. So hear the word of the Lord this morning. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I used to fear getting lost all the time. I have no sense of direction. And I know that in our society, real men don't have to ask for directions, but I ask for directions all the time. I should say I used to, before I got one of these. My smartphone, and I was a little behind the curve on this, but on my phone, and yours are probably like this, I can type anywhere I want to go, this will take me there. But before this was available, I used to get lost all the time. One memory stands out in particular. Dawn and I were on our way home from college in Nashville, Tennessee. And she lived in Burlington at the time. I lived in Raleigh, and so we would travel together. And when I would make this trip, I had it down pat. I would take Interstate 40, you know, all the way. Get on there in Nashville, all the way to Raleigh. There's no turns, no anything. It's just a straight shot, perfect for someone with no sense of direction. But Dawn had this thing called the Virginia Way. And the way that worked is you would take Interstate 40 the same way as my way, the right way. You'd start out on 40. And then when you got to Knoxville, you'd take 81 north up into Virginia, and then you'd take 77 to 75 to 52 south, which would take you down into Winston, and then you'd hop back on 40 and go on. Now, it sounds sounds longer. It's really not much longer. It's only a couple more miles. But to me, it sounded way more complicated. You know, I thought, let's just go. But she was with me, and so we went her way. And we're on the trip, and we had just gotten on 52, and she fell asleep. Now, I knew that 40 was the next road. So I thought, this is easy. It's going to be a big sign. I'll see it. So we drove along, and I see this sign for Business 40. I'm like, well, we didn't take, you know, Business 40 and regular 40, they're not the same, so that can't be right. So I just kept going, and I started to get a little nervous, but I didn't want to wake her because, you know, I looked over. This is before we were married, and I'm glad that she took the kids out this morning, so if we can keep this between us. So she just looked so adorable, you know, her head against the window. Her mouth kind of open. There might have been some drool. I'm not sure. I wouldn't have seen it at that point, you know. And she had the seatbelt mark on her cheek, you know, the scene. And I just couldn't bear to disturb her, so I kept going. I didn't see it. And finally, I was getting really nervous, and I just had to wake her up. So I gently shook her, and she rubbed her eyes, and she says, "Well, where are we?" I said, "To be honest, I don't know. I know we're on 52, And we drove a little bit further, and we saw a sign for a place called Erickson Stadium, which maybe you recognize, but she saw it and knew right away that we were in Charlotte. So we got off the exit. I went to a gas station, and I asked for directions, and we made it home. But I never would have had to do that if I had this thing, because it could tell me how to get there. But I didn't. And so, you know, Dawn, it would have taken her much longer to realize I wasn't a real man, but she married me anyway. But this thing will tell us how to get anywhere we need to go. Well, almost anywhere. This phone will not tell me how to get to heaven. And I know because I tried it. I opened my map app this week. I typed in heaven, hit search, and these are the suggestions it gave me in this order. Number one, Hog Heaven Barbecue. Number two, Heaven Bound Truck and Auto. Number three, Heaven Nightclub and Third Floor Bar. That's up there, right? So we're moving higher up. Number four, Barbecue Heaven. So we already knew that barbecue was close to heaven, but Heaven and Earth Landscaping, Heaven Sent Private Care, and the Gateway to Heaven Church. Now, since this didn't work, I asked Siri, said, Siri, how do you get to heaven? And she said, well, you live in the South, you're already there. That's not true. She didn't recognize she gave me the same list that the map thing did, and so then I changed it around, and she sent me to this website that I did not go to, by the way. But where are we supposed to find directions to heaven? You know, how do we get there? And this is important because if that's our destination, and I hope it is, we don't want to get lost. You know, the disciples were asking this very same question. It was technically Thomas who asked the question, but he was asking on behalf of all the disciples. Jesus was the one who had brought it up. Remember the context there. They're nervous, they're scared, they're frightened, they're confused. And so Jesus wanted to comfort them with this reminder of the promise of heaven. You know, specifically, he told them, you know, about this house, so to speak, that their heavenly Father possessed, a house with many rooms, with many dwellings, and he was going there to prepare a place for them, and when he was done, he would come again and take them to that place, take them to heaven. And it sounded good, but they wanted more. They wanted directions. They wanted to know, how do we get to heaven? Now, when Thomas asked that question, you know, how do we know the way, I'm not sure what he was expecting Jesus to answer. You know, I don't know if he was looking for turn-by-turn, you know, that kind of thing, like, we'll go past the camel stables, you know, turn left, past that place where they used to sell the pots, go a ways, you'll see a blind beggar with a three-legged dog, you know, turn right. It'll be on the left, this huge mansion, you can't miss it. You know, I don't think that's what they were looking for, but they wanted something they could do, steps they could take, a level of confidence that they could find their way there by themselves. And instead, Jesus surprised him by saying, I am the way. And that doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you're thinking of heaven as a physical location. I mean, how could a person be a way to a place? But is heaven a place? I mean, does our Father's house have a physical address? You know, look at the way that Jesus describes heaven. You know, this large mansion with many rooms. You know, the translation we read said dwelling places. The word used there for room or dwelling place is the noun form of a Greek verb menein, which is translated in English abide or remain. And you're familiar with that word in the scripture. In the very next chapter, Jesus will use it many times as he's describing his relationship with the disciples, or the relationship that they need to have. And he compares himself to a vine and the disciples to the branches. And he says, if you're to bear fruit, you know, if you're to live the life that God wants you to live, if you're to live in such a way to prepare yourself for heaven, then you need to abide in me. You need to remain in me. And so it's a very relational term that he's using. And this tells us that when Jesus is describing heaven, he's not describing it so much as a place, but as a reality. You know, heaven is where God is at home. You know, heaven is where God is present in all of his glory. And so going to heaven is about living eternally in God's presence. It's about living in a close and an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so now Jesus' answer to Thomas makes a little bit more sense. The way to heaven is through a relationship with God's Son, Jesus. But that wasn't good enough for the disciples. They weren't satisfied. They wanted to hear that from God himself. And so this time it was Philip who spoke on behalf of the group, said, "Show us the Father and then we'll be satisfied." And Jesus explained, and they did not yet understand, that he and the Father, to look at one was to look at the other. To see Jesus was to see God. And they would come to understand this when God raised Jesus from the dead. But we have that same question sometimes. You know, how can I get to heaven? You know, we think of it more often, I think, when times are bad. You know, when we're attending the funeral of a loved one, or when our own death is approaching, we want to know, how can I get to this place? And our answer is the same. You know, the answer is Jesus. He is the way to heaven. He's also the truth and the life. You know, these two words were kind of meant to qualify what he meant when he said, "I am the way." He's the way to heaven because he tells us the truth about God. You know, through his words and through his actions, most notably his death on the cross, it tells us a lot about God. He's the way to heaven because he shows us what it means to truly live. You know, how to live the life that God wants us to live. But our lives are not like those of the disciples. You know, most of the time we're not concerned with how do I get to heaven. You know, we're concerned with the challenges we face every day. You know, how can I be a good parent or grandparent? You know, how can I have a long and lasting marriage? You know, how can I honor God in my relationships? How can I find fulfillment at work? You know, how can I survive another week of school? How can I find God's purpose and meaning for my life? These are the questions that we ask far more often, and the answer to all these questions is the same. The answer is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But like the disciples, we're not really satisfied with that answer. It doesn't seem good enough. It's not so much because we don't understand it. We understand what Jesus meant better than they do, but it doesn't seem to work. You know, Jesus doesn't seem to be the answer, and so we look elsewhere. You know, we look to celebrities or daytime talk show hosts. We read the latest self-help book or the article that we come across online that gives us, you know, 10 easy steps to the life that we've always wanted. You know, and in our search for advice, we might stumble across a few good pointers, a few things that can help us through, but we'll never find the answer we're looking for. And the reason Jesus doesn't seem like enough is because we've misunderstood this idea of relationship. You know, being in a relationship with Jesus is more than about believing in him. It's even about more than being baptized. It's about walking with him, talking with him, you know, studying his word, serving him, worshiping him. You know, if you're not doing those things, you know, how can you claim to be one of his disciples? If you're not doing those things, how can you say you have a relationship with him? And this is what we must have if we're to experience the reality of heaven, both now and for eternity. And we can see glimpses of heaven right now if we look closely enough. You know, we can experience God's presence when we gather for worship, when we worship in our own homes, when we pray, when we read his word, when we meditate upon his grace and his goodness. And through his presence, we find strength, we find guidance and wisdom and answers to those questions that we're asking. And then when we pass from this life to the next, we're ushered into heaven in the sense that our spirit is ushered into God's presence. You know, at that point, we will enjoy a closeness and an intimacy with God that we can only imagine. And this is why the Apostle Paul says that it's better to be with the Lord than to be in this present state. But the best is yet to come. You know, for one day, heaven will be a new earth. And there we will live and move in God's presence for all eternity. And Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. You know, today is Mother's Day. You all know that. Let's hope that I remember it and call my own mother. But you know, on Mother's Day, we think about our relationships with our mothers, and so we take steps to kind of solidify that relationship. We call, we send a note, we text. Facebook's not good enough. I found that out the hard way. No, that's not true, but our relationship with Christ is not something we can attend to once a year. I would say not even once a week. Our relationship with Christ must be that, a relationship. And I would just encourage you this morning, if your relationship's not where it needs to be, to strengthen that relationship, to renew that commitment, to maintain that communion, that prayer, that study, that worship, that service that is all a part of what that relationship entails. In just a few moments for our music for reflection, and we're going to hear some special music, and I encourage you to listen to the words. It talks about the ways in which Jesus really is the answer to the problems we face and calls us to rely upon Him for those things. But would you pray with me?